Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday. It's October 28th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Justine F., the 12 Traditions, Deanne F., and the readers of the text are Dana P. and Janice P. M. And today we'll be reading page 56 of We Agnostics, the third paragraph down. We finally saw that faith through one paragraph ending with, "It was so with us." And the comments will be on that one paragraph only. The share ID for Sunday, yesterday's special edition, October 27th, is 21,863. That's 21863. And Monday, October the 28th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,864. That's 21864. Our newcomer greeter today is Jody E., and our announcements person is Betsy H. And thank you all for your service this month. I really appreciate it, and we all do. Over our OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Justine F. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, OA. Good morning, Justine.
Good morning, Mo. This is Justine F., compulsive overeater and bulimic in Oregon. Here are the steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Justine F. And now I will ask Deanne F. to read the 12 Traditions of OA. Good morning, Deanne.
Hey, good morning, Mo. This is Deanne F. in New York, and I'm so grateful to have done this service in October. Thank you for the opportunity. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting the other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you again for letting me serve. Have a blessed day.
Hey, thank you very much, Deanne F. from New York. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. And we are still in We Agnostics on page 55. The third paragraph down, it begins with, we finally saw the faith, and it ends with, it is so with us. And I will now ask Dana P. to get us started. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for this month of service, and it's been great here. I love the beginning of the paragraph. Oh, Dana P. in California, recovered. It starts with the word we. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup, just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. He was as much a fact as we were. We found that great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. It was so with us. You know... This we, it says we, the first word, and us, the last word in this paragraph. And one of the things that I learned about the steps is that steps 1, 2, and 3 are about our relationship with the higher power. And they use the word, or Bill uses the word God, and he uses the word great reality in the paragraph to describe this something, which the paragraph before called deep down inside, you know, this thing. Whatever that is, this relationship. So 1, 2, and 3, developing that relationship between myself and that thing that's inside of me that guides and directs me and wants only the best for me and loves me so intensely. It's just incredibly amazing. I can't even tell you. And then it says after that, it says sometimes we had to search fearlessly. Well, what is that? You know, that's our step 4, right? We search fearlessly. And it even kind of goes into 6, too, when we're looking at that. And so, you know, step 4, our relationship with ourselves, and then we start going into relationships with others. Step 5, another person. So now I have this thing deep down inside me, this God, if you will, myself, and another human being. And it's so amazing to me, and it continues on with that, more and more people come in as this fellowship, and step 12 especially, but I have to keep going back and back and back to that relationship with myself and with the God that lives in me in step 10. And only after that, in step 12, can I really bring in the whole we and us. It's really amazing how this process works. And the other thing that's coming to me is the amazing thing. You know, I listened and I heard and I watched, but I couldn't believe what these people were saying until I actually did this work, and especially the step 4. But the 6 and the 7, so remarkable how God literally took 41 years of my obsession with compulsively stuffing myself with food, compulsively exercising, compulsively vomiting, that whole, what was my entire life, which was my best friend, really, God took that away from me, and I know that it is gone for good as long as I continue to have a relationship with this God of my understanding, this myself. It's just so remarkable, and I want to share that with everyone. And so I don't know what else to say about it. If you have problems with the word God or the fact that it's he in capital letters, certainly call me, because I had a problem with that too, and I don't really anymore, because it's my personal experience with whatever this thing inside of me is. So I'm going to pass with that, Mo, and thank you for your service this month, and hopefully we'll be back on the line soon. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Dana P., for getting us started. And so we'll now open the lines up for those who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared last Thursday or Friday, please wait until tomorrow to share. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Lisa N.
Laura W. from New Jersey.
I got Lisa N. and there was somebody else before Laura.
Elaine G. from New York.
Wait a minute. Okay, I got you, Laura. I got you, Elaine. Who was there after Lisa?
Aaron from Wyoming.
Darren?
Oh, Aaron. E. Yes.
Gotcha.
Got it.
Okay, Aaron
G.
Deborah.
Darian K.
Darian K. I don't know what all that noise is. Okay, Laura W. Okay, let's stop there. I have Lisa N., Aaron J., Laura W., Deborah G., and Darian K. And if I didn't get your name this go around, I'll get it the next. All right, everyone mute except Lisa N. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service today. And good morning, everyone. Right away, they're reading this paragraph or hearing a dare I think read it, which was a great share. I went back to my childhood and remembered, this is a strange memory, but doing a puzzle, and I was probably about 5, and we didn't have many puzzles and toys in the house, but I had this one puzzle and I did it, and it was like a meditation, and I felt the presence of a higher power within me or there with me. I did not feel alone. I spent a lot of time alone because my siblings were older than me. My mother, she worked all the time. So she was either working in the home or working at a job. And I just remember being alone with that puzzle, but feeling not alone. And I had a thing as a child, a need for spirituality. I enjoyed church. I enjoyed music that was Christian music. But the thing I didn't understand is that I would have to keep seeking that and not just bumping into it once in a while. I had to seek it. And finally, when I reached the doors of OA, I realized that it was a higher power that I needed in a profound way, not to think that I could do this on my own anymore. I needed to really depend, and I needed to come clean and find out who I was and what I was thinking, because my thinking was all messed up. So yeah, I had to search for that higher power, and he was within me all the time. And that's all I got. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Lisa N. from Wisconsin. Up next is Aaron J., followed by Laura W. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, everybody. Aaron from Wyoming, although today I'm in L.A., but I'm generally located in Cody, Wyoming. Really appreciated this reading. It's very powerful. I liked how the speaker talked about it starts with we, it ends with us. So what that means is this is a universal experience that all of us are offered. I can get this if I just do the work. There's nothing like, you know, the fairy dust is only sprinkled on a few. But as other parts of literature talks about, and it's in AA literature, you know, many are called, but few are chosen, because it's really self-selection. I have to be willing to do the work. And that is, you know, a huge proviso, actually. And yeah, like, this is the great reality within me. I already had a higher power before I came into the rooms. And I first was introduced to the rooms when my son, who turned 38 this month, was about 6 months old, the first time I went to an OA meeting. My mom dragged me to a meeting. Then we went and had brunch right afterwards, all you can eat. But what that means for me is that, okay, I already had that higher power. It was M&Ms, usually peanut M&Ms, but any would do. And, or whatever, you know, just I'm a quantity eater. So the food was my God. It's not that I needed to find a higher power. I needed to replace my higher power. Because for it was the food was the answer for everything. Happiness I couldn't process. Any kind of disappointment of any kind. There's a huge problem with perception, which is also part of my disease. I don't see reality. I see a distorted view of reality. Even when things are fantastic and happening just as I would expect or hope, the smallest little snag is to twist me out, and I have to process it using the steps. Seeing my character defect is it's making me wildly uncomfortable, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's just happened this weekend. I had a lovely, lovely weekend. Went to a fantastic concert at the Bowl, in Hollywood Bowl, and at the end when they were doing the amazing fireworks and everything, at least half of my brain was preoccupied with, but wait, they haven't played my song, the one I'd been expecting all night. So it was very hard to, in the moment, even appreciate the amazing grandeur of what was happening. So I literally was worrying, what about my song? That's how self-centered I am when I'm in a group of 17,000 people. And I had to do some step work on that to just get back to the great reality, which is really God's in charge. I'm not in charge of their playlist. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Aaron J. from Wyoming, but currently in California. Next up is Laura W., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. Hi, everybody. This is Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Gosh, you know, I love the talk. I can't really say anything that wasn't already so eloquently said, but, you know, it always says we saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup. And so many people come into these rooms or try to get into recovery and say, well, I don't believe in God, you know, or my God, you know, as a child was a punishing God. And I'm going to speak for myself. That's how I felt. My God was the God of, you know, you do this, you go to heaven, you do that, you go to hell. And, you know, I've slowly but surely learned that, you know, there's a phrase, God is with me because God is in me. And I remember through this program, not just who I am, but whose I am. And that is so important for me because, you know, sometimes we did have to search fearlessly, which for me is a step four, doing that inventory. You know, God is in my heart, and I've always had faith. I had faith in the scale. I had faith in getting the number lower on the scale. I had faith in running that extra mile. I had faith in me, my ability, pulling myself up by my bootstraps. But God is in me. That's the great reality deep within me. And the first 100, when it talks about we, they're identifying with me. They're saying, you know, it's us together. It's us as one. And I have to reach in myself for God, not reach out for something like, you know, weight and food and extra this and extra that and more and more and more. I have a disease of more. I have a disease of excess. And, you know, Bill wants us to see here. He wants us to be moved by these descriptions. And this is not really an academic discussion. This is about, you know, this is about my heart. And this is about, you know, who and whose I am and the love that God gives to me and all of us each and every day. You know, my emotional problems cannot be reasoned away, and they can't be solved with scientific methods. They have to be solved with a higher power. And whether you call that God, whether you call that nature, love, the power of the group, the power of seeing somebody recover from a disease, that is all what this is. You know, it's deep down in us. And I have to remind myself that every day, through good times, through bad times, that God is in me, and you know, wherever I go, there He is. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. from South New Jersey. Up next is Deborah G., followed by Darian K., and after Darian, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo, and everyone, and thank you, Mo, for your service. It's good hearing your voice, and also everyone that's making this meeting possible. And welcome to any newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here with us today. This has just been lovely, the share. Thank you all for sharing in 12-step in me and keeping this alive. I just love hearing all your shares, your experience. And I was thinking about, for myself, this place where I was always looking at the food, and obsessing. And that's how I live my life. And just trying to, you know, move through life to get the food, you know, moving around that and not really being present in my life because of the food, all of that. And it's just such a beautiful experience. I see beauty today. I see that beautiful divine, for me, the divine loving power presence. Mystery. And then recently, because I love that word, I was trying to remember where it was in the big book. Thank you for your share about the great reality, because I wasn't living in reality before. You know, I was not living in reality. I was in my own imagination and delusion and just off the wall thinking. And now I know what reality is. You know, I have this power that heals me, that helps me, that's in me, in you. And I can see the beauty in you. I can see the beauty in the world, beauty in my surroundings. Beauty for my day. That's what I'm going to do today, set my intention to see beauty. Because that for me is that power, that presence, that divine, you know, and God. I'm learning that the word God is a symbol. And I've learned through experience, I love it was shared, with growing up, of what that God word was. But it's nothing like I thought it was. You know, what I thought it was completely different. And it wasn't until I came to these programs, and it continues to evolve, am I experiencing a different experience with the word God, you know? And I'm just going to continue. I love it. I'd so much rather do this than live like I was living before. Thank you. Thank you all for helping me through this, and we can hold hands and do it together. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. Before I take Darian K., I will remind everybody where we're at. We're in the chapter We Agnostics, page 55. Third paragraph down begins with We finally saw that faith, and it ends with It was so with us. And after Darian, I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Darian.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Can you hear me okay?
Very well.
Yeah, good, good. All right, good morning, everybody. Well, grateful to be on the line with you. And every day, oh, such a gift to have you all there for me every day of the week, a number of times, you know, during the day. And, you know, I think that that is for sure somewhat of the presence of God, you know, just having people, you know, willing to share and, you know, and grow with me on this journey, that I'm never, that I never feel alone, that I'm always walking hand in hand with everybody, with the fellowship. And I also believe that God, you know, is in the rearview mirror. So I've shared this before, that I don't always feel it at the very moment. You know, sometimes I'll close my eyes and I'll pray or breathe in and just ask God for help. But, you know, I could look back at my life and I can see so many areas of my life where God has carried me. It's just been amazing. I came in at 24 years old, and I'm 62 now. And so there's been a lot of life to live in this program, obviously. And the joys and the sorrows, and then neutrality in between. And God has carried me through so much that I'm just so grateful for. I grew up somewhat with a higher power, but it surely wasn't what I have today. It was very minimal. And today, I just really believe that God is with me. God is in me. Someone I love that shares on the meeting says it's in your heart space. And, you know, I feel like there's just that big enough space in my heart, for my God to be every day with me and close to me. And, yeah, I'm just so grateful, you know, just, you know, going through presently some, you know, just serious situations with people that I love. And, you know, I don't feel alone because it's just like the first person that shared, it's a we and an us and a together kind of program. And I just am so appreciative of all of you. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Darian Kay. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Beverly R. from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Okay, I heard Beverly R. I heard somebody from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Elaine G. Beverly R. from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Oh, you're from Silver Spring. All right, Elaine G., I got you. I think I missed you the last time. I apologize. Elaine G., who was that?
Linda W.
Who was after Linda?
Rebecca from New Jersey.
Rebecca from New Jersey.
That's right.
Who else?
New Jersey.
Dina A. All right, we'll stop there. New Jersey. All right, I have Beverly R., Elaine G., Linda W., Rebecca, I missed your last initial, and Dina A. Good morning, everybody mute except Beverly R. Good morning, Beverly.
Hello, can I be heard?
Yes.
This is Beverly R. from Silver Spring, Maryland. I'd just like to share briefly and say there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but the tunnel is choked with garbage. And in OA, we dig away at the garbage to reach the light at the end of the tunnel. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, but it is choked with garbage. And in OA, we dig away at the garbage to reach the light at the end of the tunnel. Thanks for allowing me to serve.
Thank you, Beverly R. from Maryland. Up next is Elaine G., followed by Linda W. Good morning, Elaine.
Yeah, hi, everybody. This is Elaine from New York. I'm glad to be here. I haven't been here a long time. But the paragraph, I think, not that I think I know,
because of the program and God in my life that I've gotten this program recently, after 10 years. But anyway, I am on the fourth step. And you know, before I started this fourth step, I prayed. I did the best I can, you know. And I just want to say that my sponsor, everything I say, it's not working out. But anyway, I also know that God has stopped me from eating in the middle of the night and to eat the, I ask God every morning to help me help me have a strong desire to be abstinent and the ability to be abstinent. And also I know that, not that I know, but I've come to believe through the fellowship and God that I'm only one of many, and I'm not unique, and that I got to keep on coming to meetings, hear the words of people, and I believe God works through people, and so I hear all good things. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elaine G. from New York. Up next is Linda W., followed by Rebecca. Good morning,
Thank
Linda.
You. Good morning, Mo. Thank you also. I haven't been on for a long time, but this is a very special paragraph for me because God is everything to me. God is my faith. God is in my heart. And I just wanted to thank everyone for being here. And all very special, and we are so fortunate to be able to have this program. Anyhow, that's all I wanted to say was thank you again, everyone.
Oh, thank you, Linda W. from Nevada. Up next is Rebecca. I don't have your last initial, Rebecca, and tell us where you're calling from.
Hi, Mo. Hi, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I'm Rebecca L. from New Jersey. And very happy to be here. This is the first time I'm sharing on a vision for you. And I am now on my 12th step. Been in and out of the program for years, but have really been working it all the steps in the past 5 months. Have come to abstinence very recently. And I wanted to share on the paragraph is that it's all wonderful, but I love how it says we found the great reality deep down within us. Because I see what I found is we come from a variety of many religious backgrounds. Some people really with just spiritual or no spiritual religious background, but we are all together. And how this program works by finding the higher power within us is just so amazing. And then, you know, the part two of that is, of course, finding it in the group, you know, starting with sponsors and then going out, you know, with fellow members of the group. And it's just, it works. And, you know, it's like I had read in another part of the big book is the proof is just really in how many people are recovered and how much it works. And, you know, I don't have much more to share today except that I'm just very, very grateful that we're all here together and for the higher power, how it showed me, although I already have a faith, it showed me something so much deeper. You know, I am I'm not sure if it's appropriate to share this at this time, but I am looking to sponsor somebody. So if there's any other information about that, you can share maybe after the meeting with me. I thank you very much.
And thank you, Rebecca L. from New Jersey. If you stay
You're welcome.
At the end of the meeting,
I will.
Okay, you'll give out names and phone numbers. All right, next up, and before we take Dina A., remind everybody where we are. We're in We Agnostics on page 55, third paragraph down. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God. And it ends with, it was so with us. So after Dina, I will take another lineup. Good morning, Dina.
Hi, Dina A., New Jersey. Thank you all for being on the line, for being part of my recovery. So grateful to have found this program And for me, I got stuck on this line, he is as much a fact as we are. I don't have my big book in front of me, so I'm not sure if that's exactly. And what program has taught me, and I've always had a higher power, and I always knew he was real, and yeah, he was as much a fact as I was. Now, I believed then, and I believe now, that God is way more real than I am, since I believe he created me, and he is the world, and I'm just a part of his will. And yet, I was living my life that I was the big fact, the things I knew, the things I was certain of. As my sponsor would point out to me if I'm doing some kind of resentment or fear about one of my children, and she says, so you're certain that children shouldn't suffer at all, right? You're certain that it's not okay for them to struggle. And yet if I look back over my life and my strengths and where I've grown, my biggest growth has been through my struggles, and yet I'm certain that it's a fact that it's not okay if my children struggle. So for me, it's been a beautiful journey of putting my higher power, my God, as the great reality with the capital G and the capital R. And the things that are my perception as just exactly that, my perception. And then coming with my fears that will be born of my perception, my desires, my resentments that are born out of my perception that are less of the reality. My reality doesn't have a capital R. It's just my take on things when I'm, and every time I bring it to my higher power, and I just love the end of the paragraph where it says it's deep down within me. When I get quiet, I am so grateful that that's where I can find my higher power, and I can get quiet and have that shift of reality from my fact in quotes to the actual fact of higher power. I never really understand him, but I come to a comfort and a new understanding and a new perspective. The higher power is always there when I get quiet and pause and do that. And use fellowship also in the same way. Fellowship to help me point out, where I'm stuck in my quote-unquote facts and where they might not be the real great reality. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you all so much.
Well, thank you very much, Dina A. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday and Friday, please wait until tomorrow. And I can take about three more names. Who would like to share?
Reggie O.
Reggie?
Good morning. This is Lorraine from California. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Is that Lorraine, did you say?
Yes, Lorraine. I'd love to share.
Okay. I'll call on you. Thank you, Lorraine.
California.
Who was that with an L?
Simone L. in California.
Simone. All right. I'll stop there. All right. I have Reggie O., Lorraine M., and Simone L. Everybody else mute except Reggie. Good morning, Reggie.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. Again, Reggie O., currently living in Southeast Georgia. And I remember so well the moment that I first read this third to the last line of this paragraph. And I read it for the first time in the big book in Vision some years ago. And when I read, we found the great reality deep down within us. It was just amazing to me. I can almost still yet feel that, because I in my life have driven miles and miles and miles to find the great reality. And I remember when I was living in Massachusetts and in the Boston area, and I would drive up to Rockport, and I would drive miles and miles to go sit out on the headlands when the sun was coming up, to watch the beautiful colors in the sky and the sun coming up, to have somewhat of a spiritual, spiritual experience. And I usually found God in nature, but I was always needing to go elsewhere to find God. And when I read this, sentence, and it has taken a very long time, even after reading this sentence, to really grasp that, to really grasp that this great reality lives within me, lives deep down within me. And it's only there that God may be found, you know. And it's not only there that God may be found, but it's always there that God may be found if I look for it, you know. And it makes me think, you know, just even it's just so reassuring and so comforting. And I'm really grateful that I got on the line this morning and that this was the paragraph that we were on, because it's just such an amazing reminder, you know. And sometimes things seem to go awry, and sometimes things run smoothly and this and that. But that's usually, you know, the externals that affect sort of the emotions or the internal. But deep down within, everything is all is well. Deep down within, all is well. And that is just such a wonderful reminder for me to take away. And if I am looking to someone else like food, something else like food or anything else to do that for me, I'll never get there. So it's just wonderful to be on the line this morning and to have this be the paragraph and the sentence. So thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Reggie O. from now, Georgia. Up next is Lorraine M., followed by Simone L. Good morning. Press star 1 to unmute, Lorraine. Lorraine? Can't hear you. If not, we'll move to Simone L. Good morning, Simone. If you're on there.
Good morning, everyone. It's been a while since I have been on a vision for you regularly, and I had not been working a program or in contact with my sponsor. And recently, I have been more about my faith. And so this passage really resonated with me about there is something, that great understanding, and that it is within you. And so that really spoke to me, because there is understanding for you to be gained. It's personal to you. And so it's just clandestine that my higher power has been driving me to seek him out. Not in relationship to food, not in relationship to anything else, but just in relationship to understanding my higher power and forging my personal relationship with my higher power, not in a religious understanding, not in the way I grew up, but my own personal understanding. And so through that process of seeking an understanding of my higher power, you know, I've really got a conviction of, and there are things you have to turn over to me, and one of those things is eating. And so just out of the blue, there just was this push and nudge that said, Simone, get back on the vision to you call on Friday. And it brought me back today also. So just happy to be here and just so clandestine that this passage came up, which I'm so grateful for. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, Simone L. I'm glad you're back. All right, we have time for two more shares. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Pam in Colorado.
Pam in Colorado.
This is Sue. I'd like to share.
Sue. Okay, so I'll just take those two. All right. Everyone else mute except Pam. Please give me your first initial of your last name, Pam. Hello, Pam?
Yes, Pam G.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. Thanks so much, everyone. I got onto the meeting in kind of a state today, and I feel my prayers have been answered by hearing you all. And I have to say, this paragraph in particular has stood out to me and been a real beacon between what's said earlier about knowing that I am a worshiper in general, but oftentimes what I'm worshiping does not serve in any way. Worshiping fear, worshiping cynicism, worshiping food. And so as I read these sections, and particularly as has been stated by others, the line of the great reality deep within, there is something about that particular line that can go deep within, and I am always so comforted by being able to hear that and recognizing, oh, I'm off track here. Let's connect deep within. Then that gives me the grounding to be able to go further, whether I need to do some further step work, whether I need to make an outreach call. That deep, that line, the great reality deep within, it's just brilliant and beautiful. And I'm so glad to have heard it today and from all you others as well. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, Pam G. from Colorado. And up next is Sue. Now you can get your last initial and the state you're calling from.
Sue T. Yeah, Sue T. from New Jersey.
Sue T. Gotcha.
Yeah. Thank
you. All right, your turn.
Yep. Okay. So I'm Sue. I recovered from compulsive eating, anorexia, and bulimia. And I just love that we found a great reality deep down within us. I think that is so beautiful because when I think about it, I made a god of so many, you know, different things in my life, whether it was, I don't know, mostly people or a job, or if I reach certain thing in my life, then it's going to be nirvana and I'm going to be so happy. All these things, and I always failed. And then when I did my fourth step and I did my seventh step, it was so powerful that I did find that God within myself. And I think the illness clouded it and got in the way of hearing the voice of God that said, you know, it's okay, get up and keep going. And when I was in the illness, whenever I would do something wrong, there was a beating up process, which was the job of the illness to do for me, so it could keep me separate from God. So with that, the illness kind of turned this God into this black and white. You're good if you did this, and if you do that, you're going to wherever you're going to go. You know, you're bad, and you're just a loser. And that is not what I found when I worked the 12 steps. I found a loving God, a very forgiving God, a God that had unbelievable mercy. Hope, like, come on, get up, keep going, don't give up. And that is probably the beauty. And I remember before I worked the 12 steps, I heard a friend of mine say, God is as real to me as my right and my left arm. And when I heard that, I said, oh my God, I want that. So even though I grew up in a faith and I had some experiences, the 12 steps just took away that obsession, which cleared the path for a much stronger relationship with God and to really experience that great reality. So forever grateful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sue T. from New Jersey. Thank you, everyone who shared on this paragraph. Man, I got a lot out of it myself. Thank you all and those who gave service this month on the vision meeting. Okay. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Janice P.M. to read A Vision for You. Good morning, Janice.
And good morning again, Mo. Thank you so much for your service and everybody on the line. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others, this is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.